Scripture reading today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 16 through 20. Luke chapter 2, 16 through 20. So the angels had just sung to the shepherds. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. So at the First Baptist Church in White Pine, Tennessee, they had their annual preschool nativity pageant. And this one had a hilarious twist to it. And one of the moms caught it on video, and of course you can go to YouTube and find it. But what happened was this little two-year-old, her name is Tegan Benson. She was one of the sheep. And as a sheep, she was to stand just kind of quietly off to the side of the manger. Well, that sheep had kind of a mind of its own. And she reached into the manger and she took the doll representing the baby Jesus. As the rest of the children up in front sang Away in a Manger, this little sheep decided to dance with the baby Jesus. Well, there's more. Mary, understanding her motherly responsibilities, got up and went over to the sheep and took the baby back from the sheep and settled back into the manger. And if that weren't enough, the little sheep thought, wait a minute, the song's still going. I should still be dancing. And went back into the manger and grabbed the baby Jesus again and pulled him away from Mary and started dancing around with Jesus. Well, Mary had enough of that. And Mary got up, and this time she put the sheep in a headlock and grabbed the baby out of the sheep's arm and settled back into the manger. And I don't know how long this would have kept going, but fortunately, an adult stood up and got in between them and settled things down and brought peace back to the manger. So center stage at Christmas time is the baby Jesus. The question is, what do you do with a baby? What do you do with Jesus at Christmas time? Tegan thought, you play with a baby, that's what you do. You dance with a baby, you sing with a baby, and that's certainly part of what you do with a baby. A baby needs love. A baby needs love to take care of him or her. A baby needs to be fed. A baby needs to be played with and sung to and all kinds of things that are required because the baby can't do those things for him or herself. But it's not easy. It's hard work to love a baby. A young dad tells a wonderful story about when he and his wife brought their first child home. It was the first night at home, and the baby was crying. In fact, the baby wouldn't stop crying. His wife frantically flipped through the pages of Dr. Spock's famous baby book, looking for what to do. Why do babies cry? How do you get them to stop? And it's a big book. It's a thick book, and it took her a while to thumb through the pages. And so the baby cried for a while. Grandma was visiting. Grandma was there, but because Grandma hadn't read Dr. Spock's book, she wasn't consulted on what exactly to do. And the baby just kept crying until Grandma had enough and she spoke up and she said, "Put down the book and pick up the baby." And that's good advice, even at Christmas time. Put down the book and pick up the baby. Because we do a lot of things by the book at Christmas time. And everybody's book is different, but we all have those traditions, those activities, the things that we like to do, and we often go by that recipe for our families, for ourselves, in the book of Christmas. And that book could be decorating the tree, it could be cooking, it could be Christmas cookies, it could be sending cards, attending gatherings. You know, whatever is in your book at Christmas time, there are things that we just naturally want to do. But sometimes it's more important to put down the book and pick up the baby. Don't ignore Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Dance with Jesus. That's what Tegan did. She didn't follow the script. She followed her heart. And she picked up the baby. The Bible tells us that Mary did a similar thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful image of the shepherds coming to the manger scene. We think of them coming at night, and we have this wonderful silent night scene. And the shepherds are there, and Joseph and Mary and the baby are there. And the shepherds are just beside themselves because they'd have this wonderful, amazing vision of these angels. And then they ran to Bethlehem to see if what the angels told them was true, and they found out that, yes, indeed, it's true. And so what they told them was that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah. He's here. And so what they had found by following the angels' instructions is just exactly what the angels told them. And so they knew that this baby was special. And amongst all of that hubbub with the shepherd's visit, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 19, that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. She thought about them deeply. She pondered them in her heart. The birth of Jesus is a matter of the heart. Now, I know it spiritually, eternally, theologically has some incredible meaning for us. When we think about the incarnation, we think about God becoming man so that he could rescue us out of our human condition. This blows our minds when we think about it and try to make some rational, logical sense about it. And so there's some importance to doing that exercise, thinking theologically about the incarnation. But this passage in Luke tells us that Christmas is a matter of the heart. It's about the God who is love, loving on us. He loves us deeply, infinitely. And he desires us to experience that love, to know that love, to be surrounded and embraced by that love. That love that forgives us, that love that shows us mercy, that love that bestows blessing upon us, that love that secures our eternal life, that love that overwhelms us with grace and makes us strong and courageous and fills us with joy and with peace and hope. God is love, and at Christmas we celebrate how that love came from heaven to earth in a real and tangible way to make it into our hearts in a real and tangible way. Peter Marshall, who was a former chaplain of the United States Senate, said this one time, said, "When Christmas doesn't make it into your heart, when Christmas doesn't make your heart swell up until it nearly burst, when Christmas doesn't fill your eyes with tears and make you soft and warm inside, then you know that something inside you has died." But we need to think a little bit further along the message of Christmas than just God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. We need to think a little bit further along the line, because Christmas is not just only about God's love for us. It has just as much to do with our love for him. Christmas is not our birthday where we just receive the gifts from God. It's Jesus' birthday where we give gifts to God. And as great a blessing as it is for us to receive that amazing gift of love and life in Jesus Christ, we need to think about and be intentional about and be serious about expressing our love to God. Question is, how do we do that? What do you do with the baby in the manger? How do we love God? I mean, we can't send him flowers. We can't fix his favorite meal. We can't buy him a puppy. how do we love God? Mary could literally pick up the baby. The wise men could literally bring gifts to give to Jesus. The shepherds could pass out cigars and announce the birth of the Savior. But what do we do? How can we give a gift to Jesus that expresses our love to him? Well, the good news for us is that Jesus has made a list. He's made a Christmas list. And it's something that he would like from you and from me. And the good news is that there's only one thing on his list. And here it is. If you love me, this is from John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will buy me a Red Ryder BB gun. No, that's not what he said. If you love me, you will get me a hippopotamus for Christmas. You know, that song. No. What does he say? If you love me, you will keep my commands. The Message translation puts it this way. If you love me, you will do what I told you. That's all. Sounds simple. But that's the gift that we can give to Jesus. Obedience. Obedience. It's the only gift that we can give. It's the only thing we have that we can give to God. It's the only thing he doesn't have is us being willing to surrender to him and follow his ways. It's the only thing we are truly free to offer Jesus is this gift of obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey. It is better to obey the Lord than to offer him the best sheep that we have. It's better to dance with Jesus than do everything by the book of ritual observances. Our obedience is motivated by our love for him. Too often, you know, we flip that and we think that his love for us is motivated by our obedience. It's not that way at all. Nothing could be further from the gospel truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So once we experience that, once we accept his love in our life and embrace and allow him to embrace us, then we are motivated to obedience. Then we strive to follow his teachings, know what he wants us to do and do them because of his love for us. Now there's two dimensions of this obedience gift, and the heartbeat of that obedience is twofold. One is making good choices, and one is building healthy relationships. That's kind of the two heartbeats of the gift of obedience that we give to Jesus, making good choices, building healthy relationships. It's like a two-step dance. We're going to dance with Jesus. We're going to do these two things. We're going to make good choices. We're going to build healthy relationships. I'm not good at dancing. I wish I were. I like music. I like to move to music, but I am not a good dancer. I used to be, long ago, my mom could tell you, that when I was about this high, my sister and I, we were pretty good twisters. That's all I could do. That's all I could ever do. And you know, the twist is just two things. It's rotating this way, you know, and it's moving back and forth. So if you can move back and forth and you can twist, you know, and you can twist, you can do a dance. And so it's the same with our obedience. It's kind of the obedience twist. It's what we give to God, making good choices and building healthy relationships. Every time you make a good choice, you reflect your love for God. So every time your choice is an obedient one of faith and trust, then you're giving Jesus a Christmas gift. Now, the question is, how do you know if you're making good choices? Well, that's where his teachings come in. That's where the Word of God comes in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Every scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for reproof and for correction. And for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be equipped for every good, the Bible says work, but we could put choice in there. The Word of God is God, or it's God inspired, so that we can make good choices. The Bible has something to say about every choice we could ever make. There's not a choice that we make in any minute of any given day that's not covered by some teaching in the Bible, whether it be finances or health or what we wear or picking our friends or how we drive or how we relax or the entertainment we engage in or who we marry or how we do our job. The Bible has something to say about every dimension of our life. And if we want to give Jesus a gift this Christmas, we need to make good choices. Proverbs 5:21 says this: mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. Kind of sounds like he knows when we're awake and he knows when we're asleep. You know, yeah, God knows. And so we honor him. We give him a gift when we do something that makes him proud when we make good choices. Another little girl in another Christmas pageant was excited about the role she got to play. She was going to be the Christmas angel. And so at dress rehearsal, the day before they were supposed to go on stage and present this to friends and family, she was all dressed up in her white gown, her halo, her wings, and she was standing at the back of the church waiting for her cue to come down the aisle. And at just the right time, the director said to her, "Okay, come down the aisle." And before she took a step, in all sincerity, without missing a beat, she looked up at the director and she said, "Do you want me to walk or fly?" You see, as we walk down the aisles of the pathway of our life, we're designed to fly. God wants us to be lifted up and fly through life. And the good choices that we make are our wings. Making good choices, that's one part of the gift that we give to God of obedience. A second part of that gift is building healthy relationships. You know the greatest command that Jesus gave? I mean, there's 10 commandments, and somebody asked him, which one is the best one? Which one's the greatest? Which one out of all those 10 are, you know, it's kind of like you wonder what's in the back of their mind. Are they just going to ignore the other 9 or what? But, well, Jesus answered his question. He said, well, the greatest command of all is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the other laws, all the other teachings of the prophets, everything else hangs on that. Love God, love your neighbors. So every time we build relationships in grace and in truth, we give Jesus a Christmas present. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 5. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And how is it that he's loved us? He's loved us with amazing grace. He's loved us with eternal, incredible truth. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? And we've seen his glory, we've beheld his glory. The glory is of the only Father, of the only Son of the Father. Full of grace and truth. That's how he loves us. And so when we build healthy relationships that are based on grace and truth, we're being obedient and we're giving Jesus a Christmas gift. You know, some people in Jesus' day didn't like him very much. And mostly I'm thinking about the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the ones who were in charge of the Jews and their life and faith. And Jesus didn't like them very much because they didn't get things right about God. They didn't get things right about how salvation comes. They didn't get things right about how you connect to God Almighty. And he called them on the carpet about that. He had some very strong words against the Pharisees and their teaching. And they didn't like him. They didn't like him so much that they wanted to put him to death. In fact, they had a hand in arranging for his crucifixion. That's not love. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus. And like I alluded to, Jesus didn't like the Pharisees. They heard some rough words from him, words of accountability. And even though yet he didn't like them, he still gave up his life for them. He died for them. That's love. Building relationships in grace and truth. Love can be hard. Can be difficult. Some people are EGRs. You know what EGR is? Extra grace required. And we all have that experience in our life of folks that can exasperate us, frustrate us. Like the kindergarten teacher who shares the story of one winter day, and it was time for her kids to go, and she was helping them get all their winter garb out, and there's one little boy struggling with his boots, and so she went over to help him, and she understood why he was struggling. They were hard. She was pulling on his boots, and he was pushing, and it was still hard to get those boots on. And after she finished with one, she moved over to the other, and it took just as long to get that other boot on. And when she was finished, she had worked up a sweat. And the little boy looked down at his boots and looked at her and said, "They're on the wrong feet." And sure enough, she looked at it, and she's about ready to cry. But she summoned up some more energy, and she got back down on her hands and knees and took the boots off, and they weren't any easier to come off than they were to come on, put on. And so she finally got them on and off, and then put them back on right feet. And he looked at his boots, and he looked back up at her, and he said to her, "These are not my boots." Did everything she could to bite her tongue. She didn't want to say, "Well, why didn't you tell me that while we were putting them on?" But she didn't. She got down on her hands and knees, and she struggled and pulled those boots off, and she looked around to where there might be another pair, and the little boy looked at her and said, "These are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." So with as much grace as she could possibly work up, she put those boots back on that little boy's feet. And so he stood up when the boots were on, and she got his coat and put it on him, got his hat and put him on him, and she said, "It's okay, now where are your mittens?" And he said, "Well, I stuffed them inside my boots." Yeah. We understand how it's difficult sometimes to love one another. But that's the gift that we have to give to the Lord, is building relationships in grace and truth, making good choices. He is the God of love. We worship him, we serve him. And the gift, the best gift that we can give to him, really the only gift that we can give to him, is a gift of obedience, making good choices, building healthy relationships in grace and in truth. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. This morning, Lord, our hearts are full. They're full of your grace. They're full of your truth. May that spill out from our hearts into the hearts of others. Help us as we celebrate Christmas to dance with you. Help us to do that two-step twist of obedience where we make good choices and we love one another. There's nothing that brings a smile to your face more than when we faithfully follow you. As we celebrate the birth of the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, fill us anew and afresh, again, with your presence, your peace, joy, your glory, your love. And we will forever give you praise in the precious name of Jesus Christ.